and welcome back to That Girl Is Going Places. Thank you so much for clicking on today's episode. I'm excited for this one because it's with a guest and I haven't had a guest on in a little while, but obviously you read the title of the episode and my mom is here with me today.
Hello.
And we're sitting on my bedroom floor. It is the last few days before I head back to Boston, so kind of crunch time to record an episode like this, but I recently listened to the Moments podcast by Lexi, and she did an episode with her mom, and I thought it was really cute, especially because my mom is also my best friend and my person, and that's how Lexi described it. So we're just gonna chat. I have a couple of questions written down that either I came up with or people just wanted to know about me and my mom and advice from her. So she has not seen any of these questions, and we're just gonna go for it. We'll see how this goes. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. I'm excited to be on the podcast, but I'm not sure what questions are coming.
Okay, we'll start off nice and easy. Were there any similarities between my childhood and yours that you see? Like when I was growing up, did you see yourself in me?
Wow. Certainly I'd say yes and no, but on the yes side, we were very family oriented, mm-hmm. and you know, family celebrations and family vacations and just a lot of time with family was really important. I think I spent a lot more time with my dad, but mm-hmm. he was always very home. Present yeah. and home and drove me everywhere and drove me to dance class every 3 times a week.
That's a similarity.
That's exactly it. And I wanted that opportunity to I felt really close to him because I felt like we spent a lot of time together and I wanted that with my kids too. Mm-hmm. So
do you see like my personality traits when I was younger similar to when you were a kid?
Yes. You're really focused. That was like one of the big words that comes out of your childhood. And I was too. You were really good sitting and doing things for long periods of time, whether mm-hmm. it was reading or crafting of some sort, or and you wanted to do everything really, really well, mm-hmm. whether it was hairstyles or nails or
that's
making
in the genes.
Jewelry uh-huh. or making those little clay creatures.
That's true.
Homework or any of that.
You did that too.
I was exactly like that. Yeah.
I could have guessed that. What is your favorite memory of us?
Oh my goodness.
One of them.
There's so many. The memories that I have, like the most fond memories I have are when you and I are just together and not mm-hmm. really do like laying in your bed and talking.
Yeah. Sitting on the couch.
Versus like, I mean, certainly there's big events yeah. like Disney or something like that. But it's the times when we've really connected and it's often been when we've just been casually talking.
Bella's here to join the podcast.
And then it gets into deeper conversations, right? We just mm-hmm. we don't plan that. It just kind of happens.
More candid ones. That's mine, too.
Yeah.
Bella's usually there, too. That's my cat, by the way. For those of you who don't know, my mom and I have a cat, Bella, and this is actually very predictable. Whenever we're in a room together and Bella's not there, she'll find her way in because she totally has a lot of FOMO. So if you hear her in the back, apologies. All right, next one. So this was one that Lexi asked her mom. What are, like, throughout my entire life, I feel like you've always known, like, my good friends versus my bad friends. I think all moms have, like, sixth senses. What would be, like, red flags that you look for if I have a friend? And, like, what's your feeling?
I mean, the very first thing is, a not-so-great friend is when I feel like you immediately feel like you have to do things differently when you're not being yeah. your authentic self. I mean, I saw that in a number of occasions. Mm-hmm. Things that just weren't comfortable to you. I mean, it's one mm-hmm. thing to have a friend that pushes you out of your comfort zone. That's a good thing. This was just doing things that you wouldn't have normally chosen to do. Mm-hmm. Or so that I was able to spot that pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And the other friends were the ones that made you better, mm-hmm. that allowed you to be genuine and made you better.
Mm-hmm. I feel like moms always know, like, even not in the moment, but I feel like...
But we were not allowed to say anything.
No, I know, but that's good, like, because then the kid gets to, like, work through it, and I feel like years later, I'm like, well, you knew about, you know, like, all the moms just know, and then they,
yes.
the kids figure it out later, but that's good. It's a learning experience.
Yeah.
Okay, this one, Zara asked this one. Zara's, like, a friend of both my mom and I. She asked, how have I changed throughout the years?
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
The biggest changes.
Well, I mean, you've... been through an almost complete transformation over the last couple of years. And what I'd say is you've done the work for it. Mm-hmm. You've become a lot more comfortable in your own skin.
Mm-hmm.
That's been a huge change.
I'll say that too.
I mean, I'm so crazy proud of you because that's not easy to
Thank
do
you.
That. You've become a lot more confident. I think you are allowing yourself to be a lot more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But your core has always kind of been the same. I think you're also allowing yourself to make mistakes mm-hmm. and not have to do everything
Perfect.
At the top of
yeah.
your game, which I think was
Getting
hard
better
for
at
you.
That. Yeah.
I remember how much you studied for those first semester of freshman year
finals.
High school finals.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think you're living a little more spontaneously. You've taught me that too. And I think you've learned to enjoy life more.
Mm-hmm. Present.
Yeah, definitely.
I could agree with that.
Definitely.
And then Zara also asked, how is it to have a daughter who like does social media?
How is it to have a daughter? I mean,
like with a podcast and Mern for the Gym, like how has that been that you have that?
I mean, all that comes to mind is just pride and how proud I am of you for doing that. I mean, there's no negative for me on that. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of what you put out to the world. I'm excited for you. I think you're awfully vulnerable. And I guess if I'm honest, I would say sometimes when you've been super vulnerable, at least at the very beginning, I was a little nervous for you as mm-hmm. to how that would be received.
It's your mom senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I see that it's been received so
yeah.
well and that you've actually helped individually. You've helped people
yeah.
individually and probably collectively too. But it's been so positive for you and for others. So
yeah.
I think it's all been great.
And then the last question from Zara is, how is the empty nester life? And then adding on to that, someone else asked, like, what are your self-care practices now that you live alone and just with Bella?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I definitely miss you.
I miss you too.
We spend a lot of time together.
I know.
So, you know, I miss our, we spend every evening on the couch together mm-hmm. having dinner.
We have the
watching
same
a show,
night routine.
And then we chit-chat,
yeah.
right? So it's
the same night
like
routine.
Sitting at the dinner table, but a little bit different. But, I mean, for both you and Cole, I'm so
Cole
excited.
Cole is my brother, by the way.
I'm so excited for, like, this is our job is to, you know, you set roots and you set wings. I've done all the setting of the roots and you've got your wings, and it's so fun for me to hear about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I love the phone calls where I hear about everything that's going on and you trying new things. You're going to hockey games all of a sudden.
That is new.
I mean, that's super exciting for me. I get to live vicariously through you and through Cole. And in terms of self-care, I mean, I rely on my friends and my family a lot. I talk to my sister and I talk to my friends a lot, and I have great friends. And so
Bella.
And, you know, Bella and I have a lot of our little routines. So that's the biggest part of self-care for me is
mm-hmm.
checking in with people, checking
mm-hmm.
with my friends.
Your support system
yeah,
has always been big for
yeah,
you.
I have a great support system.
Back to, since you mentioned my brother. My brother and I are, by the way, like 7 years apart, 7 school years. So was it hard to have the two of us apart, or did you like having us kind of separated?
There are pros and cons to that.
Mm-hmm.
It was our plan to have you guys closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not the universe's
that
plan.
You were cooking for a long time. You wanted to come when you wanted to come.
Uh-huh.
But now that you are the way that, I mean, you each got an only child existence,
yeah.
I feel like, almost.
I tell people that all the time, that my parents will say they raised 2 only children.
Yeah, yeah. Which allowed me to spend a lot of one-on-one time
yeah.
with each of you
yeah.
during those super formative years. So for me, it was a benefit. I feel like maybe for you guys, you might have been closer or it would have been easier to
relate
be,
on
be
stuff.
Cl-
yeah,
yeah. When, if you were closer
yeah.
or closer in age. But, you know, I think things happen the way they're supposed to often. So
I agree with that.
I'm happy with what we got.
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, so this will go back to another episode that I've talked about before that I thought would be a good question for you, that I mentioned in my episode about my own journey with therapy, that I went at a young age, kind of not by my own choice, not that it was bad, but you guys had put me in therapy when I was really young. So how, like, why was that the decision? And, you know, how did you make that choice to have me put my mental health as a really young kid at the forefront when I was younger?
You want me to be really honest?
Yeah, I mean, I've been honest about my journey, so yeah.
You know, you were having struggles where you couldn't be in places when you were having anxiety. And so it got to a point where you couldn't be in restaurants, or you couldn't be at birthday parties, or you couldn't be at friends' houses. And so it was an issue that was really affecting you significantly. And, you know, I, like when Cole had problems, I kind of figured out how to help him. I couldn't figure out how to help you with this. And so it was almost a little scary for me. And so not only did I feel like you could benefit from the help, but like I needed help. We needed help. We needed somebody to guide us. And that was really the first time I started learning about mental health at all. And some of the things they were saying, I was like, why? How could that help? And it just, it took me on a path to, so that I ended up starting therapy and started reading a lot in order to be able to help you.
Did you know that what I was having when I was younger was panic attacks and anxiety? No,
I did not. It, the whole concept of how the brain worked and how the mind-body connection worked and all that, it didn't, I mean, I knew nothing about any of that.
So did you seek therapy for me just to get like help as a parent, not because you wanted like healing for my panic, you know, disorders?
I wanted both. I wanted healing for you and I wanted education for me.
But you didn't know for sure that that's what it, I mean, you didn't know I had anxiety or any of that.
I had no idea. No, none of that.
And then that was actually another question that I was going to ask, was how was like your concept of mental health as a kid when your childhood and like growing up for you different than how you think I view mental health?
A thousand percent.
0 to 100 I'm sure.
I mean, when it was being discussed, when the grown-ups were discussing those things and I was overhearing, like people got quiet when they talked about that. Like they said, oh, well, she, you know, came kind from an immigrant family that
had survived
my
World
parents
War II
survived and, World War II and actually had really significant kind of horrific journeys. My mother lost both of her parents in pretty horrific ways. And, you know, so she, you know, struggled with a lot of things herself. But I don't think anybody in my, like the grown up, so to speak, when I was young, understood how significant trauma and mental health, affected how significant you, it was in your life. And it was looked upon, I think, with shame. Like if you felt like you had to get help, that was kind of a shameful thing.
So how has that changed, like, as you have unlearned that? Like, how has that been?
I mean, I look at it completely differently now. I mean, it's a component of your life that needs care just like your physical health, sometimes even more so. And it just needs to be part of everyone's, just part of the conversation. It just needs to be normalized and just treated differently.
Do you think that like if I, because I know you were mentioning like with Cole, he didn't have as much of that, and you know, you were able to help him more, and I was kind of more the mental health like case child. Do you think that you wouldn't have researched and like learned so much about mental health and prioritized it so much as just an individual without your kid's experience?
I mean, that's a good question, because I started recognizing some of my own mental health problems a few years after you started going. So would I have recognized those without?
Maybe not.
I'm not sure. But I'm just, I'm grateful that I started going to therapy myself and started figuring things out myself and started doing the research and educating.
Would you say, like, when I'm struggling with mental health, is that, like, what's your gut instinct to do? I think I know, but I think, like, what have you learned now as a parent to do when I'm struggling?
Can I answer that in two ways? When you first were struggling, I wanted to get you out of it and solve it and move on. Like, it was so painful for me to watch, especially when you had panic attacks. I feel like this is going to sound bad. I felt like it was doubly bad for me watching it. I felt like I had double the pain. And so I not only wanted you to get out of it for yourself, but it's hard for me too. Like I didn't want to go through those things. And now, I mean, I've completely unlearned it. I don't want to solve. I want to let you feel your feelings. You got to get through. You can't go around.
What would be your advice to other kids? I mean, I feel like we've had a very open conversation about mental health just because it's been something that I've dealt with since I didn't even know what it was. But maybe for other kids who want to go to their parents and ask to go to therapy or, like, need to communicate that they don't need their parents to solve their issues and they just need someone to listen to them? Like, what would be, as a parent, what would you want your kid to come and say to you?
I mean, literally almost just what you said, because you were just so honest and said, don't, mom, don't solve.
Mm-hmm.
Just let me, I just need you to listen.
Yeah.
That's really it. And that was so, like, I thought the mom job was to solve.
Mm-hmm.
So I would advise them to just say, I just need you here next to me. I just need a warm body. I just need somebody to listen. I just need to get this off my chest.
Yeah.
You don't have to say anything.
Yeah.
You honestly could just sit here and hold me and mm-hmm. listen. And then, you know, when I'm done, I'm done and you can leave. But
yeah, easier said than done. I know those, like, going to your parent is hard. I've been there, but
yeah.
I think that's good advice. And just, like, I think we've had the most success as you being a support system when I've been the most honest about my needs in that moment. Like,
yeah,
I need you to do this. I don't need you to do this. Like, I know you want to be there for me, so I'm telling you, here's how you can be there for me.
Right.
I think that's the most helpful, at least from my perspective. I don't know if you feel that same way, but
I do feel that same way. And I mean, if there's a parent listening, mm-hmm. Going through therapy yourself is helpful when you have a kid that might be having struggles, because a lot of me wanting to solve the issues was all about me.
Your insecurity.
It was my insecurity as a mom. Like, I'm not doing my job well if I don't help you get mm-hmm. out of this. And so they can at least help you work through the parts of it that are you.
Yeah.
Or be a sounding board for that, right?
Yeah. This circles back kind of to what you were talking about with your childhood and mental health. So that maybe would be something that you wanted the opposite experience for me, like how your family viewed it versus how you want our family to view it. Is there anything that you did have growing up, like lessons that you learned in your childhood that you wanted to make sure as a parent, me and Cole learned as well?
Well, I mean, I think that my dad, Grandpa, was like the poster child for just let things roll off your, he was the this too shall pass guy that,
big picture. And
he was, he just didn't let things rile him up. He didn't, and that is something I wished I could. I didn't always do that very well.
You did.
But I wish that I could teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's, it's a lot about the little things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That big things don't always need to be so important in your life, but the little things,
mm-hmm.
Can make a lot of the difference.
And then I have a lighter question. Do you think that, like, your college self and my college self would be friends? Do you think how you were in college? Well, first, maybe give an overview of you in college. And then we'll see. Maybe then we can both decide.
I mean, it was a different time.
Oh, come on, let's hear it. Miss Sorority.
I mean, I was pretty focused on doing all the right stuff and, like, doing things perfectly in high school.
Mm-hmm, I was going to say, let's bring the honesty in college.
So when I got to college, I was like, wow, I think I could, have a little bit more fun in these years. And so I was pretty social, I would say, and spent a lot of time at fraternity parties and at bars and...
I think the answer might be
so. It was a little different, and I was pretty focused on grades, but there were a lot of classes that were pretty hard for me, so I didn't do nearly as well as I did in high school. So mm-hmm. anyway, I think I focused a lot on fun, at least at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then switched gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you think?
But I guess to answer your question, I mean, I still think that we would have been friends.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
I mean, I also spent a lot of, nights in the dorm room playing cards.
Do you think that was, like, if you went to, my mom went to U of I, by the way, so University of Illinois, which is more of a big school with social options.
Yes.
Do you think that if you had gone to a school like BU, it would have been the same? Or do you think you would have been more like me? And I don't know. That's a hard one to answer.
That is a hard one to answer.
I mean, there's also the pandemic to factor in. Do you think you would have been the same person that you were in college?
I think, I mean, at the time that I was there, the fraternity and sorority life was so big at U of I. It really kind of sucked you in. I mean, it was the biggest Greek system in the world, I think. And so much of that was social. So had I gone to another school where that wasn't such a predominant factor, then yeah, maybe things would have been a little bit different. But I definitely had that, like, wow, I'm free. I'm not at my parents' house. I can do things that I wasn't allowed to do. I definitely had that.
So you think regardless of where you went, you would have
I
searched
might
for those
have.
opportunities?
Exactly.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, I don't know if we'd be friends, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. That's okay. And then I have one last question. Do you think that like our relationship now, which I would like to think is more like less parent kid and in a good way, like more roommates and
Adult to
just
adult, yeah.
do you think like that's what you had pictured when you had a daughter that you would become that close? Or at least that's what you wanted?
Yeah, I really had hoped for that. I mean, with both kids. I mean, honestly, you know, but yes, this is, I'm very glad for how our relationship has
Yay, me too.
developed.
Me too. Well, thank you for doing this with me.
Thanks, sweets.
Only
It
30
was
minutes
great.
of your day. Now we're gonna go and sit on the couch and eat
I
dinner.
thought you were going to ask me if we were going to get another cat.
Oh, well, I can ask that too. I mean, I didn't, you were gonna say no to that.
Thought
So that was a question that was asked on my Instagram. Were we gonna get another cat? But I knew the answer to that. So
Yeah, we've got a pretty awesome cat, right, Bella?
we're looking at her right now. I
Yeah.
know you can't see, but she's literally, we're sitting on the floor and she's sitting right above us. But that's okay. So we're good with just Bella, the three ladies here.
I mean, getting Bella, that was your idea initially, and it was one of the most spontaneous things I've ever done. So you definitely taught me through Bella how to be more spontaneous.
It was one of the most spontaneous things for any freedman.
Yes,
Our
I agree.
family is very, like, our vacations have been planned 7 months in advance for
Yeah.
all my spring breaks that I ever went on in my
We have a
childhood,
little
ever.
analysis paralysis. Yeah, we take a long time to decide. Yeah.
If we were to get another cat, it would probably go back to that decision-making style, and
Which
it
means
would
it would never
happen
happen.
10 years in advance. So the answer is most likely no. But thank you for coming on.
Thanks, sweets.
And I hope that you all enjoyed listening to my mom. Who knows? Maybe if you enjoy this, we'll do this again on spring break or something. But it was great to have her on today. And if you enjoyed today's episode, you can always DM me on Instagram. Let me know your thoughts at Marin for the Gym. You can also leave a rating or a review wherever you listen to this podcast. It just helps to support the podcast. And thank you so much for all of your support as always. I appreciate you being here. I hope that you're smiling at the end of this episode. I know we both are. And I hope you have an amazing day. I will talk to you in the next episode.